part 3 of this podcast series, What is Community Philanthropy? Ranji set the scene for us in the first two episodes with his story of the journey of the Dalit Community Foundation. Now we're going to meet with five people involved with community philanthropy in very different contexts. Tarisai Jangara works with the Zambian Governance Foundation, supporting community foundations in rural and urban areas.
For the Zambian Governance Foundation, with the approach that we have taken of adopting local philanthropy as an attractive model for development, we see it as a way of leveraging communities.
Janet Mayiwu works in East Africa with the Kenya Community Development Foundation. In Nairobi, where she is based, there are massive challenges in huge urban slums such as Kibera.
I think because of the way the aid industry works in many developing countries, it's very common to find communities are expecting things from whoever wants to give. And so they end up with a mindset of receiving things and not a mindset of being in control.
The landscape's very different in Nepal, where Rita Thapa founded Tewa, meaning support in Nepali. Alongside larger scale disasters such as the 2015 Gorkha earthquake, there are many smaller scale threats to the lives of urban and rural populations.
In Nepal, philanthropy as a word and a practice existed primarily through religious and cultural giving. And the transition into urbanization, modernization, pushed by processes of globalization. So all these things had an implication, and this is what we have practiced, like raising money and support from really everybody around us.
Maria Chertok, Masha, is director of Charities Aid Foundation Russia, working in a society which on the face of it is much more affluent, but where many people are left behind.
Community philanthropy allows people actually to come together and decide what they want to do and where they're going to take the resources, where they're going to find the resources, how they're going to contribute themselves. Maybe what they have is not enough, but this is where they start with what they have rather than what they haven't.
Marianne Nunes works with Ecom in Florianopolis, superficially one of the most highly developed cities in Brazil.
And you start building trust, and that's one fundamental piece to be able to do the work here, is to build trust with the social movements, the groups, the nonprofits, and also the people and corporations and businesses that want to do something to their community so that they see a place where they can do something.
I talked to them about the where, what, how, and results of community philanthropy. Where is it relevant? What exactly marks out community philanthropy from other forms of community development? How is it organised and mobilised? And what changes result from it? Let's start with where. Poor countries, rich countries, cities, towns, villages.
Lots of places, particularly outside big cities, they find themselves in a situation where nothing really happens to improve the life of people. And roads and other infrastructures in decay. People feel very remote from basic services, even education and healthcare gets more and more centralized when people have to travel hundreds of kilometers sometimes to get to the doctor. So it really leaves people with no choice but to do something for themselves.
When hard times come, like we've had different things with our grantees, like accidents, and like you saw when the earthquake happened here. This is who Tewa reached out to, first of all. But the interesting thing is not just the grantees who were affected, but grantees, we called on grantees who wanted to volunteer to go to these affected areas. And I think in our first batch, we gathered around 25, 30 of them who came to volunteer, not just for a few months. Some of them for years.
Whether struggling with a lack of services in Russia or facing an earthquake in Nepal, involvement in community philanthropy mobilizes people to take action and support each other. The same seems to be true even in a highly developed Brazilian city.
Florianópolis is the capital of the state of Santa Catarina, which is in the south of Brazil. When you look at some indicators, we have one of the highest indicators in Brazil. But on the other hand, we have a lot of inequalities here. So, for example, we have around 67 areas where people live in vulnerability, poverty, and the city is an island. So a lot of tourists come here, and usually all those areas, they are hidden, so they don't see it. And also, like, we have a lot of social issues because people are very conservative. When you look at the rates of violence against women, we have one of the highest rates of crimes against women, against transsexual people. So just some of the issues that we see. And a lot of people from here, they don't want to talk about the inequalities, or they don't know that they exist. They only see, like, there's a beautiful place where tourists come to spend the summer here.
I think from the community perspective, trust is a big issue, which we can say is a barrier. Then the resources themselves also, it's a barrier, because some communities, the poverty levels, they are too high. As much as we'll be trying to unlock the local assets that are within the communities, at times the poverty levels, they're just too high. Then the mindset shift is also a big barrier, because we are coming from a point where civil society organizations or development actors, they go in communities, they are giving things like T-shirts, food. So there's still that expectation from the community to say, okay, when we have development actors coming in, we are supposed to be given such things. Yeah. So I think the major ones are mindset shift, trust, and resources themselves.
Whether we're looking at a highly developed city or the vast rural areas of Russia or disaster-prone Nepal, community philanthropy seems to have the potential to mobilize people. But Teresai highlights the challenges to this that they face in their work in Zambia. Challenges like building trust, finding resources where people live in poverty, and changing mindsets where people have become dependent on the hope of outside help. So while community philanthropy might be great in theory, how does it work in practice? We're going to look for answers to these questions in the next episode.